So the last hour of the week, and it's going to be a very busy hour. We are jammed up. Lots to get done. Full slate sets up like this. Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Good friend of the show, Ross Tucker, joins me next segment. In addition to that, I've got the ATP, the week that was, maybe a huge call. Plenty of time for your phone calls and more. 1-800-636-8686. So let me start hour number three by saying this. One of the things that I've been thinking about and planning for is people to talk to in the coming weeks. Like normally at this point of the year, it's all about college basketball, coaches in the tournament. It's all about NBA personnel getting ready for the playoffs. It's all about MLB players and managers starting the season, college football coaches in spring practice, NFL draft prospects, NFL front office folks and head coaches. The list goes on and on and on. We always have a plan. We always know who we want to target. We always know who we want to talk to. You know, I'm still going to have all of these types of people on, but it's going to be different without live sports. You can't talk about last night's games. You can't talk about the weekend schedule. You have to have people come on and tell some stories. Fact. We need people who can tell stories. People who have good stories and people who are good at telling those stories. Now, when you run down a list of guys that would be good to hang out with, good to hear stories from, you better have Jimmy Johnson somewhere on that list. Actually, put both of the JJs on that list. NASCAR Jimmy and football Jimmy, because they're both guys who've accomplished a ton. In fact, everything there is to accomplish in the respective sports, and they both have stories for days. Let's talk about football Jimmy. Football Jimmy recently spent some time with Dan Pompey on his boat, Three Rings, which I love. I mean, normally that'd be like such a look at me kind of douchebag thing to do. Not with Jimmy. I love Jimmy. I've always been fascinated by Jimmy Johnson. So I'll never forget the first time I met Jimmy shortly after he was done coaching, and he still had that aura. Even after what happened in Miami, to me, he always had that, just that mystique, that aura. He was just so brilliant in what he did. I remember seeing him in the Fox lot. I was coming off my show and he was there, and that was kind of unusual. But I think that he was already beginning that thing of flying in for the weekends. And I probably had wrapped up my show on Friday. And I was waiting for my car. And he was waiting for his, or he was getting out of his. And at that time, I mean, who cares, right? I mean, all I did was interview athletes and coaches. But for whatever reason, at that time, he saw me and I'd never met him before. Because he wasn't really accessible to the media, the outside media. Giant smile on his face. Gave me a little fist pump. I'm like, damn. Is that like game respecting game? Is that like Jimmy giving me some approval? Like, I'm not gonna lie to you, I thought that was pretty cool. That was the best fist bump that I got from a coach not named Bill Parcells. So I've just always had a lot of respect and appreciation for Jimmy Johnson, for his acumen, for his personality, for his charisma, for the way he built the Cowboys. I mean, damn, look at that organization since he left. That tells you all you need to know. Anyway. Football Jimmy's hanging out on his boat, Three Rings. That boat probably should be named Five Rings. It probably would have if Jarrah had not run him off. So the Heineken lights come out. The stories start to roll. And man, there are some all-time stories. Among the topics that they touched on, Charles Haley, another one of my favorites. Michael Irvin, one of my favorites. The legendary White House. Definitely one of my favorites. Janis Joplin? Fishing with Terry Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw was my favorite athlete growing up. Or the Penguin. Or Gail Goodrich. Or all three. Jerry Jones wanting a doll. And then the best story of all, a story involving Barry Switzer in a shoe. Any Barry Switzer story is a good story, but this one might be the very best. Now, there are too many good stories, so I've got to pick my spots, but how about this one? Jimmy went to high school in Texas with Janis Joplin. I did not know that. Quote, "We knew she was smoking marijuana. Of course, the football players, we beat up guys who were smoking cigarettes. much less marijuana. She wore black leotards. Back then it was beatnik and all that stuff. So I called her Beat Weeds because she was a beatnik. She used to get mad at me all the time, but we were fine. It was all in fun. Her sister wrote a book and said that I bullied her, but I didn't bully her. Her sister said the word was, you had sex with Janice. I said, that's not true. I could have, but I didn't. End quote. All right, so glossing Janice Joplin, Beat Weeds, is a hell of a claim to fame, right? But so is saying that he could have had sex with Janice Joplin. No, so is denying that he had sex with Janice Joplin, but saying he could have if he wanted to, he just didn't want to. Her sister's like, yeah, you got with my sister. He said, no, I didn't. I could have. I just didn't want to. What? Carly Simon didn't want any of that? Hey, Jimmy, were you saving yourself from Mama Cass? You were already rolling with Tina Turner? Stevie Nicks was your side piece? No, wait, let me guess. You were feeling Pat Benatar. This would be the only reason you don't get with J-Jop. If you choose not to. If you can choose not to. Yeah, I know. Let me guess. You couldn't shake Ann Wilson. Am I right, JJ? Then there was a time, apparently, that he went fishing with Terry Bradshaw. Actually, they've gone more than once, but this time it went pretty well. Quote, Bradshaw and I went fishing in Louisiana. We caught 175-pound yellowfin tuna. I caught 5 blue marlin fishing alone. The biggest one was 400 pounds. I worked the boat. I worked the rod. I worked the boat. I worked the rod. I mean, 2.5, 3 hours. That's a battle. Normally, you release it, but it was such a long fight that it died. So I kept it. I called the guys at the dock and said, hey, meet me at the dock. I want to show you something. I sucked down about 4 Heineken lights, and I took it to the dock. End quote. This dude caught a 400-pound fish and had 4 Heineken lights, and he headed to the dock. Man, that's a damn good day. He had himself a day. Now, take it from a fellow Heineken man. The only thing worse than Heineken Light is Heineken Light on ice. And why do I have a feeling that's how my man did it? Far be it for me to question anything Jimmy Johnson does. I've already given you, I've already shared my affection and admiration for the man. I've never really understood that whole Heineken on ice thing. But he swears by it. Then there's the time that Jerry Jones wanted a big doll. Quote, so we go to Tokyo in 1992 to play a preseason game against the Oilers. I hated the international games. Of course, Jerry loved them, loved the pub. So in the game, I pull all the good players out, Troy, all of them. The Oilers beat us. Afterwards, Jerry and Bud Adams go up on the podium. They give Bud Adams this great big old doll for winning the game. They give Jerry this little doll. We go straight to the airport to fly back, and Jerry won't even talk to me. He's pissed that I pulled all these players out. So I see his wife, Jean. Jean's the greatest gal in the world. What's wrong with Jerry? She said, well, he really wanted that big doll. He had to stand up there on the podium with that little doll. So after we won the Super Bowl that season, I went in his office and said, now, Jerry, would you rather have that big doll or the Lombardi trophy? End quote. Old man Jerry crying because he has to stand up there with a little doll. And which brings us now to Barry Switzer and the story of Switzer and the Shoe. Barry Switzer is a great story, always, but this might be the best one. Let me assure you right now, no matter what you think this story is about, you've got no idea. Quote, I was at a coaching clinic in Miami, Oklahoma, with Barry Switzer and Larry Lacewell. We were assistants at Oklahoma at that time in our 30s. We went out on the town trying to get in trouble. Stayed out until 3 o'clock in the morning, had breakfast, and went back. Let me just say, I'm already in. Right, when I first heard the story, I had no idea where it was going. I just knew that Jimmy, Barry, and Larry were all coming back at 3 o'clock in the morning. I knew then something good was going to happen. Quote, we were all staying together in this little hut. They had these old gas heaters with the flame and the asbestos in the back of it. Larry and I had to share a bed. Switzer was in his bed. He was naked. Switzer was creeping over toward the little heater, trying to get closer to it and saying, it's cold, it's cold, it's cold. Larry said, watch this. I'm going to push him into the heater and burn his ass. So he started creeping over to the bed to get closer to him. When he was almost there, Switzer pulled out Larry's shoe. He stuck it under Larry's nose. He had bleeped in Larry's shoe. Larry took one whiff. He started throwing up all over the place. Then I started gagging and I threw up. End quote. Damn. Now that's a plot twist I don't think anybody expected. I was thinking there'd be something about Barry maybe getting pushed into the heater, maybe a blanket catches fire. I was not prepared for Barry Switzer to take a dump in a guy's shoe and then run it under his nose. Oh, and there's one more detail from Jimmy. Jimmy said, quote, so for the record, Switzer has a size 9.5 D turd. True story. End quote. That's a true story, and that's a legendary story. That is Barry Switzer, the bootlegger's boy, the three-time national champion as a college coach, and a Super Bowl champion. If you win a title in college and then a title in the NFL, that is rarefied air, rare company. There's a small number of people who've done that. But the number of guys who have won a national title in college and a Super Bowl and taken a dump in somebody's shoe.
You'd have a big dump in your...
In shoe.
What is you'd have that? A big dump
in your shoe.
You'd have a big dump
in your shoe.
Your...
The number of guys that have won a national championship and a Super Bowl and taken a dump in a roommate's shoe is one. Only one person has ever done that. Barry Bleeping Switzer. American original. National treasure. I mean, seriously, dudes will be dudes. Every party has one, but how much of a degenerate would you have to be to crap in a roommate's shoe? Best of all, is that everybody there instantly started throwing up when they realized what it was. Guys crapping and puking all over that hut. You know that hut was never the same ever again after that night. I'll bet you that hut, to this very day, decades later, has never been the same. Every party may have one, but how do you get to be, or how do you get to a place where you're the degenerate? It's like, man, I'm going to prank one of my boys. I'm going to prank my roommate. I know. When they go to sleep, I'm going to get one of their shoes and take a dump in it. And when they wake up, it's going to run it under their nose. Najee was not in the room. Save the tweet. My man, Barry. My respect for you, Barry. Right when I thought that it couldn't go any higher, just soaring right through the roof. That's exactly what we needed in these troubled times. A story about Barry Switzer taking a dump in a roommate's shoe. And when that roommate found out what it was, he threw up. And then when the other roommate figured out what it was, he threw up. Wow, man. Think about the worst thing you ever did to a roommate. Is it worse than that? Luckily, I don't need to ask you. Like, I don't need the answer. I've got content. I don't need that. I don't need that. Somebody else may take that baton and run with it. But I don't need to. Because I've got Ross Tucker coming up. That's next. That is a revolting story. Come on, Barry. Jimmy Johnson and Barry Switzer. Like I said, Jimmy's boat should be called Five Rings. They should have more. Everybody involved with the three would tell you that, except for the guy who's responsible for that thing breaking down. What you should have done is taken a dump in Big Jerry's boot.
You'd have a big dump in your
boot. Ross Tucker's next. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
It is not too late to come in and get some. We are rolling through our third hour. 1-800-636-8686. We are joined right now by a former NFL player. 7 years in the NFL. He is an NFL analyst. He is host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL. He is a good friend of the program. He is working it hard. Ross, what's up? Good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, Jim. Thank you for asking. Yeah, all things considered, most of the stuff I do, the podcast and everything's from my own house anyway, so I'm fortunate in that regard.
That's cool. That's good. And I know you're getting some good family time too, Ross, and I know that's important. So good to hear that. Listen, I want to start with a story from a recent episode of You Better Bet. You told an amazing story from your playing career about the time your friends were telling you to bet on a game. For those who are not familiar with this story, lay it out for us. What game is it, and what's the context for the possible bet?
Yeah, so it's funny. We just did this on You Better You Bet from Radio.com yesterday. So my last year, Jim, I got hurt in the preseason, third preseason game on the wedge, herniated a disc in my neck, bruised my spinal cord. So I was on injured reserve for the year, and I knew I was done. Like, I asked the doctor what he thought, and he said, I think you're 28. You went to Princeton, time to get a real job, right? So I knew I was done, so I really just rehabbed my neck all year. I didn't even go to the games. I think I gave my tickets to the games to the furniture company to get free furniture. Like, I was not, you know, part of the team, right? So, but I still get paid. You know, when you're on injured reserve, you get paid like you're on the roster. So I go down with my high school buddies to Charleston, South Carolina for New Year's Eve, and it just so happens that day is week 17 Sunday, and the Redskins are playing the Cowboys. And if the Redskins beat the Cowboys, the Redskins make the playoffs, which means I get another $18,000. I get a wild card check the next week. I get 18 grand. So, you know, I'm at my buddy's house. There's like 10 of us there. We start to open up some beers. The game's going to start in 15 minutes. And I tell the guys this story. I'm like, you know, if the Redskins win this game, I get $18,000. And they're like, what? So they're asking me, and a couple of my buddies immediately, Jim, start dialing their phone and say, you got to put some money on the Cowboys. You got to hedge. Like, you can't come out of this with nothing. You got to hedge and put
some
money. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that.
Wow.
Somehow it'll get back. That's illegal. I'm not doing that.
Ross.
Yeah.
Keep going. This is amazing. This is great. Keep going.
Yeah. So here's what the crazy. So obviously, right? I don't bet on the game, but sitting there with my buddies on New Year's Eve, drinking beers, watching a game that I had $18,000 riding on. Let me just say, I was the biggest Todd Collins and Washington Redskins fan of all time during that game. My buddies are going crazy. Our wives were there. They're going crazy. And, you know, obviously that was maybe the best New Year's Eve of all time. I mean, to sit there, to make $18,000 sitting there drinking beers with your buddies and then to be able to go out that night, that was a good night, Jim. That was a good one.
That is amazing, Ross. Ross Tucker joining us. I was going to say, so, I mean, obviously the experience was there. They were behind you. They were all in, and they would be because you guys are tight. What was the payoff? I mean, was it the experience? Did you take them all to dinner? Did you chip them off? What did you do?
You know what? We had all already paid because it was like some function at like the Charleston Aquarium or something. So we had all already paid. So there wasn't really anything. Now, I had done other stuff. Like when I signed my contract extension in Buffalo, I paid the bar tab for all my friends for one night. So I had done stuff like that before. But for that night, like, everybody had already had to, like, put the money in. So that makes it even better, right? Because if we just went out some normal night, you know I'm paying the meal. I'm paying for dinner for 10 of my high school buddies and their wives, or you know I'm paying the bar tab. I didn't even have to do that. I didn't even have to pay for anything. It was amazing. I just pocketed the money, and then the next week they played in the wild card round against the Seahawks, and I once again was a gigantic Redskins fan, hoping I get another 18 grand out of it. Unfortunately, they were not able to win in Seattle that year. But let me just say this, Jim. That was my first foray, I guess, into having money on a game, and I am very well aware after that experience why people do it, and it's so popular.
It is an amazing, amazing story, Ross, and I would even say that I'd never really done it very often, aside from horse racing, which I think is something totally different. Maybe it's not, but in terms of betting on games, Ross, I don't do it a lot, but I dabble a little bit because it's becoming more and more accessible and the rules are changing. It's a weird deal, right? It is really different. I'm not saying that I need to do it to enjoy the game, because that's far from the truth, but it just gives you a different perspective. How different is the game you're watching when you've got some skin invested in the game?
It's unbelievable how different it is. So I have a pretty popular betting podcast. It's called the Even Money Podcast. And so every week I give out my picks, and I had a good year. I was up 26 units for the season, and I've got my co-host Steve Fezzik won the Westgate Super Contest twice, right? So it's a very popular show. But let me tell you, Jim, I know that there's, you know, thousands of people listening to my picks on this show and making their own bets, just like, you know, I am on the show for those NFL games. So after I do Eagles pregame, when I'm watching the Red Zone channel, Jim, from 3:30 Eastern to 4:15 Eastern, and I've got bets and picks for my listeners on four or five of those games, and they're all close, and I'm seeing what happens in the Red Zone, and we're going from game to game, and I'm trying to see if I can be up 4 units or 5 units or down 2 units. I mean, that's a totally different ballgame, man. I mean, that's a total. I love football. I love watching football. I love the last 45 minutes of the Red Zone for the early games, no matter what. But when you actually have something riding on it, either actual money or other people's money, it is an unbelievable. It takes it all to another level. It just does. There's no way around it.
Russ, it's so weird, isn't it? And I'm not here to hype it. I'm not here to condone it. I'm not here to judge if you do or if you don't. I'm just here to say what's real. Isn't it weird? Like, and it doesn't mean you need 100 or 1,000 or 5,000. Are you still there, Ross, or did I lose you? He'll call back. I was going to say that it's just the weirdest thing, and it's not even necessarily the amount of money. I mean, certainly that's got a lot to do with it. I'm talking about I'll get down on a game with something that should not really hurt me in terms of the number, and I can't figure out why I care so much about it. And again, I don't do it a lot because I want to be very transparent about this. If I were to do this a lot, my concern would be that you would think that it's coloring my commentary, and that's not the case, but I do it some. We got him back now. Ross, I was going to say, explain this to me. The weird thing is, good to have you back, Ross. Explain this to me. The weird thing to me is, I mean, certainly it's a product of how much you bet, but then again, it's not. Like, I can get down and not hit the thing so hard, but I can't really explain why, if it's not that much money, why does it feel so freaking good when you win and so freaking horrible when you lose? What is that exactly?
You know what? It's because you actually have something invested in it. And even if it's not that much money, it's something. It gives you a reason to care more than just how you normally would. And I give the same speech, Jim, at the start of every year on the Even Money podcast. I say, listen, it is really difficult to win. There's a reason why sports books make so much money. You know, it's unlikely that you're going to be successful with this over the long term. But the thing is, Jim, if people are putting $20 on a game, right? I mean, that's what it costs to go to the movies now, right? So if you're okay with putting $20 on the game or whatever, $10, $5, I don't care, and losing it, how is that any different than paying the money to go to the movies for a nice entertainment hour and a half? You put some money on a game, it's an unbelievable three and a half hour experience that really is enhanced by you putting some money down on it for entertainment value, even if you're not, I mean, most people, I think, deep down realize they're not going to get rich from it. They're not, it's not going to be their profession. They got other jobs. They got other jobs and they're just looking to, it'd be awesome if they broke even all year because right. of the enjoyment.
I think I'm going to stop agreeing with Ross. Every time I agree with something he says, he falls off. But I was going to be emphatic about that. I agree with that. If you play an entire season and you break even, that's like free entertainment. You know, if you cover the VIG. I agree with that. Breaking even is a big win. Sometimes you got to follow the interview. Like, my intention was not to have Ross on and talk gambling, but his story, that first story, was so amazing, and I just wanted to keep following him. And I would just elaborate on the point that he made, that if it costs $20 to see a movie, and if you take the same $20 and you bet on a game, you have 3 hours of tremendous entertainment. That's true. I would take that one step further. You can pick a really crappy movie. Imagine a movie that's been universally panned. Like, you know the movie sucks. Everybody thinks the movie sucks. But you take that same $20 and you bet that same movie, which happens to be a football game, which is crappy. It's a movie that you would never watch. But now you're in the theater and you're watching because you got nothing better to do. And then all of a sudden, that's a great movie. And he just keeps battling. My man's staying in the fight. So, Ross, finish the analogy about the movie. You're going to spend $20 on a movie anyway. Why not spend $20 on a movie you know is going to be good? Something you know and something you love. A football game.
Right. And something that, you know, and I don't want to say in a movie that you don't, you know, obviously when you go to a movie, you don't know what the end's going to be or whatever. But a movie's half the length of time. And, you know, I always say that sports in general, football in particular, it is the greatest reality show because you see something different, unique, new every time. So, you know, I used to highly discourage my friends from doing it, you know, and I've really come around on that. They're successful guys. You know, they do well. They bet an amount that they're comfortable losing. You know, they're happy when they win. They're bummed when they lose, but they still look at it like, even if they lose, the money they're putting on it, it was worth it to greatly enhance their viewing pleasure.
That's perfectly said. That's exactly, to me, how that should be done. Never gamble enough money that it's going to compromise you in any way. If it hurts a little bit, then you've got something invested in it. Then the win will mean something. But no matter what, you get to enjoy it. So let me ask you this, Ross. If you reached a point where you like it enough, I mean, you have a show and a really successful show about it, and all of a sudden now there's nothing to gamble on, have you gone the way of others, and are you gambling on the weather?
No, I haven't quite gone there yet, but obviously the NFL season win total lines have moved with the free agent movement, and the next big thing is going to be, if you're not betting on the season win totals or the futures because of what's happened in free agency, you can bet on where Cam Newton will land. You can bet on where Jameis Winston will land, and then they've got over-unders for almost all the draft picks. And lots of bets tied into the draft. So if people are really hurting, and I know they are, to be able to bet and have some wagertainment, if you will, on something, look at the NFL futures, win totals, and start to look at the draft. And like I said, listen to the Even Money podcast. And we even go over what we thought of the line movement, whether or not we agree with it or disagree with it, based on so many of the free agency moves that have been made.
Hey, Ross, one last thought. Where do you come out on this? Like, James Kelly, who works on this show, somebody you may or may not know, he's got a lot of patience for it. He likes the future bets. He'll get down, he'll bet baseball teams, basketball teams, football teams before the start of the season, and he likes to play that thing out. Do you have the kind of patience and wherewithal for those long-term bets, or do you have that kind of shorter attention span where you want to see that thing play out and pay out over the course of a week?
Both, dude. Both. Oh, you got to do both. Because I think that
it's
there's
a hedge, right? You got to
diversify in the season win totals. I think, you know, I think I was up 26 units last year, and that didn't even include being up 9 or 10 units on the season win totals. Because then it also, Jim, gives you a rooting interest every single game that team plays, right? So last year I told people to take the under on the Bears and the Browns, and both those hit. I thought they were overvalued. So, you know, I don't really care. And by the way, that week I might have picked the Browns or the Bears to win the game. So I don't really care. But I like being right, and I like when my listeners are right, and because you know how it is, Jim. If I'm giving out picks on the Even Money podcast and they're coming true, I'm going to get more listeners on the Even Money podcast. I'm going to get more advertisers. So I want my picks to come true, and it's given me even more of a rooting interest in maybe some games, you know, a Thursday night game or something that I wouldn't really care about. If you do the season win total, even if you haven't bet, first of all, if you do the season win total, you can do it before the year, you can do it right around now or whenever, when there's other stuff not to bet on, but also then the entire season, you on some level have a vested interest in every game that team plays.
I get it, Ross. When Drew Kalisky, who runs the NFL on CBS, says to me at the beginning of the week when I appear on that show, I need a prediction for this game or these games, you bet your ass I want to be right. You do not want to miss on your picks. I know exactly what you're talking about. He is a
former... Oh, yeah. No, I tell everybody, people always say, right, like, who do you root for? I'll give you an example, Jim. I knew that for conference championship game, I was going to be on the sideline for Westwood One of one game or the other, right? So I'm in the booth for the Titans and the Ravens. I live an hour north of Baltimore. So I know that if the Ravens win, I'm on the sideline of Baltimore. I'm just driving an hour south, you know, the next Sunday, doing the game, driving home, back to my family. If the Ravens lose, I'm flying to San Francisco because I've got to do the Niners against the Packers. And then I'm flying back. Same money either way. So if I'm being honest, Jim, yeah, I had a rooting interest that night. I wanted the Ravens to win. You know who I root for? I root for me. I'm going to be, I root for me. I root for my life and my family time. So I rooted for the, I was hoping the Ravens would win. I called the game the same and it was an awesome game for the Titans and they deserved to win. But number one, I root for my personal life and logistics. Number two, I root for my picks and what I tell people. Then number three, I root for players and coaches that I know are awesome guys. And I probably root against guys I know are jerks.
Go ahead and walk off on that. Ross Tucker, my guest, he is Team Me. What a great answer. Former NFL player, 7 years in the NFL. And Ross, that's exactly why you're doing as well as you are right now, because you are real and you are honest and you're going to let it rip. My man, you have an amazing weekend. I'm still proud of you and great to have you back, Ross.
You as well, Jim. I've had it on Channel 854 all show, watching you guys on CBS Sports Network. Keep up the great work.
You too, brother. Ross Tucker, that was such a great answer.
Brother.
That was an awesome answer. You don't get that very often from anybody in the business. Who did I root for? Who do you think I rooted for? I could get on a plane and fly across the country and do the San Francisco game. I'd hit it exactly the same. I'd get the same amount of money. Or I could get my car and drive an hour. I'm rooting for me. It's so good and so accurate. All right, we are coming right back. Ran really heavy, but you know what? That's how it is on a Friday. Some of the rules are changing a little bit. We'll come back. Alvy's week that was is still ahead. Ross Tucker doing just a great, great job. He has become a content factory onto himself. You want to follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. You know who was blowing me up during that interview? Flight Deck. Flight Deck's out of his mind. He's like, dude, I had no idea. I had no idea he was all about it like that. Oh, he is. We are coming right back. If you're on hold, stay there. If not, you can hit me up. 1-800-636-8686.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Really quickly, let's hit that ATP. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Hi, Jim. The recommended amount of time to wash your hands properly is 20 seconds. What song do you sing while washing your hands, or do you just count to 20? Thanks, Bella B. in Calgary. Here's what I do with my 20 seconds, Bella.
Wash
your hands.
Hands
clean.
Filth.
Out of here.
Doing it
filth.
Clean.
I'd like to know one
filth.
Guy. I'm clean.
Clean it up.
Clean
filth.
Up everything right
filth.
Away.
Wash somebody's filth. Back, I guess. Huh?
Gary here, and I'm Mr. Clean.
Bathing or showering filth. Or soaping.
Hey, Romy, it's actually filth. Dirty D.
Clean up on aisle filth. Three.
Out of here.
What?
Wash
your damn
hands
clean.
The 22nd, 22nd take-home mix. It's called Boom Filth Outta Here. Here you go, Bella. Time now for Allen's look back at the week that was.
Y'all know what day is, right? I said, do y'all know what today is? Today is...
Welcome to the jungle. A tremendous Monday to you. My name is Jim Rome. How was your weekend? How are things going? We are back on CBS Sports Network. So if you want to see the TV version, the simulcast, the program, we are back up and running. As far as I'm concerned, I do have a lot of program for you, a lot of content to get to, starting with Tom Brady. Yeah! He asked for their phone numbers. Man, what a legend. Hey, did the Bucks just sign Tom Brady or Winston Churchill?
I'm Winston Churchill.
Holy Tom Brady is like Tim Tebow. If Tim Tebow could play football, Jarrell Casey is my guest. There's certain quarterbacks that when you hit, it feels even better.
Nah, whoever's back there, if I get my arms around you, feel these pads up against your chest, and hear you make a gasping sound, it's all the same to me.
Jarrell, what's that sound like when a quarterback gasps?
Oh.
Get on your knees and bow down.
Nah, we're good, man. We don't care.
You know, it's passable.
I'm sorry.
Gronk is still hype, baby.
And I'm still hype, baby.
Bet on Gronk. James Bradbury is my guest. If I told you back in high school that you would be a shutdown corner in the NFL, what would you have said then?
I probably would have laughed at you. Get out of my face.
Don't get in my face.
Email.
Tell Rome that if he needs a fallback, to use the meat thermometer that he has in his drawer.
What's going on, man?
Thanks for that terrible idea, Nate. I want to make sure I'm 98.6. But when I took that meat thermometer out of my mouth, it read medium well. He is a neurosurgeon, Myron Rowland. Some of the neurological cases would have to be postponed to free up resources for COVID patients.
You know, my whole day-to-day life now as a neurosurgeon has been transformed by this very pressing issue, and everybody has been involved.
You know what I'm talking about by now, right? He goes by Dick Pound. Yeah, I got it. That's hilarious. You can get over it right about now, second graders. What's your point?
I'm great, Romy. My friends call me Dick.
Give me back my talk show.
This is just so frustrating. I literally hate everyone that just called this show.
He is Shaq Barrett.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
How do you explain being the smallest guy in that room, and yet you lead the NFL in sacks?
So I don't know why I put always thinking I'm the smallest guy in the room.
Is that not true?
No, I am, but I feel pretend like I'm bigger.
And you say we're pulling the curtain back, and that's exactly what it was. I tell you what, it's amazing. Seeing little Alvy in his little glasses, a masterful hawk. Was that slide deck in the second row there?
Pete Thamel is my guess. What is the earliest you could see college football teams getting back together again?
I would just say this. We need to really take a look at the prospect, at the very least, of a fall without football.
I mean, we used to do the old prodigy, the hung fire starter. We'd do a stupid little skit on that. We'd always make fun of this one guy who called in and was super pissed from the Bill and made fun of him calling it the Bill.
Listen to you for 20-plus years. Bottom line is we should have kept Andrew Luck.
That's horseless.
You have to really blame it on.
All right, Graham, let me jump in. Once we got the pleasantries out of the way, things started to get a little sidetracked, all right?
Sports Flash.
Uh-oh, Rich Snackerman. You can't socially distance yourself from your phone when you're working from home to do the sports update.
Talking to Henry Ruggs III. What do you think it's going to feel like when you hear your name called in the draft?
It's
going
to be a crazy feeling, but just like going from high school to college, you have to make a name for yourself.
A doctor in Queens, New York, Saqib Rahim. It is nice to have you on the program. How are you?
I'm hanging in. There's parts of the country that don't fully realize the gravity of what we're facing. So I appreciate you bringing it up and calling attention. What we're trying to do is make sure it doesn't spread to the rest of the country the way that it's hit us.
Eric Armstead is my guest. Speculation about Tom Brady maybe coming in.
I thought it was an interesting story.
I didn't see it as really a reality.
Unwore my lettuce being completely out of control.
Stucknut Radio. Getting it done. You know me, I like to keep my lettuce tight. Andy Kennedy.
Hey, Rome, I'm good, brother. Rome, I'm very excited. UAB is a place that has a special part in my heart.
Cameron Jordan, what was your reaction to the news that he signed with Tampa Bay?
I'm more surprised Jameis doesn't have a job than Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay.
Instagram Live today at 4 p.m. Eastern. What do you have planned for that?
I don't know. I just gave you all my best material.
I wore a total Big E, and thank you for the giant divine, Jim. Rack me, I'm out.
No. Is it the pandemic? No, it's the Mangino. It's a stupid tweet.
You have a big dump in your boot.
Give me a hell yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I don't have an answer for that. I don't have a lot of free time.
I root for me.
Behind the backwards pass.
Make yourself do the things you do not want to do and do them consistently.
And I got a lot of basil.
Because I think a lot of people listening need to hear this and want to hear this and want that normalcy. And there's no way we do this without what's being done in New York. Love and respect.
Good night now!
Alvin, the clones are asking for the 20-second hand wash mix. Do we have time to run that back?
Wash
your damn
pants.
Boom. Filth. Out of here.
Doing it
filth.
Clean.
I like one filth. Guy. I'm clean.
Clean it up. Clean filth. Up everything right away.
Wash somebody's filth. Back, I guess.
I'm Jerry here, and I'm Mr. Clean.
Bathing or showering or soaping.
Hey, Romy, it's actually filth. Dirty D.
Clean up on aisle filth. Three.
Out of here.
What?
Wash
your damn pants.
Clean. Don't forget
to dry.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, have an amazing weekend. Thank you very much for listening, and I will see you right back here on Monday.